Texas. A swing for the finals. Off the block, we might have a challenge. It looked like that might have been touched by the block. The call is out of bounds, and head coach Jared Elliott is going to the challenge card. If this ball was touched by Wisconsin, Texas is going to win this match 3-0. Yeah, there's a touch. Yep. Touch off the block, and Texas will play Kentucky for the national championship on Saturday night.
Big 12 Texas Longhorns. Finally, Texas is good at something in college sports. Volleyball. They won in straight sets last night against Wisconsin. They'll move on and take on Kentucky. I didn't even know Kentucky was any good at volleyball. Kentucky won in 4 sets over Washington. So Kentucky versus Texas, SEC versus the Big 12, coming up tomorrow night in the small little convention center there in Omaha where they're having the tournament, which is still somewhat
They're
sad.
Actually having this part of it in the big gym.
Oh, they so, are. Oh, yeah. Oh, oh. For the national title game, we move it to the
Final Four national title.
So it's okay we can move those matches to that arena, but we can't on all the other matches. Yeah. Or it's pretty sad.
I didn't watch full matches, but I saw some just going picture, through in that convention bad. Center, and I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's a national tournament for women, and this is what they get.
These are Division I teams win.
Yeah, it was sad, no doubt, but at least they're getting to compete, I guess, compared to what took place last year. So Texas, Kentucky for the national volleyball title coming up tomorrow. So Nebraska lost to Wisconsin. What was that in the, if you call it a regional final, the quarterfinals, I think it was. I think they were supposed to have played them, and then I didn't follow it from there. Not very often that we start with volleyball to begin the show.
Not a whole lot going on.
It's kind of a slower sports day here on a Friday.
I had to find me a sports cut, and that was the one.
Dusty took the morning off yesterday, and I had this one of the shortest sports ticket shows we've had in quite some time. Sometimes we go long, and a lot of times we use up the time to 10 o'clock, and yesterday I was down by 9:32.
Sometimes you think it's going to be short,
yeah,
and then
it
still ends up being like 9:55, 10 o'clock.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yesterday, down at 9:32, man. I got so much more accomplished. Not really. okay, local sports information. I was over in Beloit. It was not the best weather conditions. It was cold. It was windy. And the Beloit baseball team, they fall 7-5 to Southeast Lee in the first game. It was back and forth. The Beloit led multiple times, but both teams had stranded a lot of runners. I think the bases were loaded in every half inning I was there. It was crazy. But unfortunately, Beloit lost 7-5. Second game, 13-3. Southeast got 6 in the first and cruised from there and won it in 5 innings. So Beloit loses that doubleheader to fall to 2-10 on the season. Beloit, a very young baseball team, just like they were in basketball. They got 3 or 4 freshmen that play, you know, quite a bit. So they are a young baseball team, and they've shown improvement. And yesterday they just almost won the first one, then the second one. They got down too big early and then settled down. Owen Islet did a nice job in relief the final few innings to slow down the bleeding there for Southeast. But Beloit couldn't get the bats really going in game two. The Beloit Southeast Saline softball doubleheader yesterday was interesting. Southeast won the first game 6-2. The second game was really crazy. It was 10-6 when I was running the stream over at baseball, and then I have to tear down the equipment in for both sites because I set it up at both sites. For those of you who don't know, you just don't show up and stream. It's not that easy. and so anyway, I go over there to softball because I see there's 2 outs, and it's the bottom of the 7th, and Beloit girls are down the Southeast 10-6, and there's nobody on base. They're down to their final strike. So I walk over there. I'm like, okay, I'll be tearing down here probably in a little bit. And all of a sudden, base hit. Next thing I know, it's then there's an error. So now it's 10-9, bases loaded, tying run at third, winning run at second to win the game because there's 7 innings of softball, bottom of the 7th, Beloit's the home team, and they ground out to end the game. They came all the way back. I mean, they were down to their final strike.
Mm-hmm.
And they were down to their final out, like for 6 batters. And they kept it going, and they got to within 10-9, loaded the bases, and then couldn't quite pull it out. It was quite the comeback by the Beloit girls softball team. They nearly pulled off a stunner against Southeast. So I came over there, and I was standing around watching softball for 15 minutes, which was fine. It was kind of fun. Yeah. It was cool, and I was really hoping they could pull it out, but they didn't. But you got to give them credit for not, you know, rolling over and thinking the game's over. They kept fighting to the end, and they nearly pulled out a great rally there in the bottom of the 7th yesterday in game 2, but they do lose the doubleheader both games to southeast of Saline. Other local sports, Dusty.
Yeah, also in softball yesterday, Republic County got their first win of the season over Sylvan Lucas Lincoln. They took the first game 8-7 in 11 innings, so a long one there. And then the second game, Sylvan Lucas Lincoln came back to win 11-6, so they split that doubleheader there in Belleville. Republic County is now 1-9. Sylvan Lucas Lincoln is 8-6 on the season after the split there last night. Also in baseball, the North Central Kansas League and Mid-East League always meet here mid-season in a tournament, and Silver Lake beat Concordia 3-2 in 8 innings in the first game, and then Concordia over St. Mary's 13-4 in the second game of that small tournament there. Concordia now 5-3 on the season with the one win and one loss there yesterday. The Lake Golf Invitational taking place yesterday there at the Country Club, where Sacred Heart won the team championship with 325. Osmond was second at 372. Individually, the champion was Hayden Dvorak from Concordia, shooting an 81 on the day. Cole Berkey of Russell just one stroke behind him with an 82 in second place. And then also it was Grady Walters of Osborne with a sixth-place finish at an 88, and Brandon Befford of Osborne tied for seventh with a 90 on the day. You can find the full results at ncksports.com for the Boyd Golf Invitational. So that's what happened in yesterday's high school sports. Coming up today, the Osborne-Kaiser Relays in track and field, and they start at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Osborne, St. John's, as well as Lakeside, Tipton, Rock Hill, Thunder Ridge, Sylvan Lucas, and Lincoln are competing there today. The Osborne-Kaiser Relays are going to start at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and Beloit and Smith Center track and field teams will be at the Phillipsburg Invitational beginning at 3 o'clock, and Concordia will be at the Halstead Invitational in track and field, and that starts at 2:30 this afternoon. So that's a look at what's going on in high school sports today as well. You can always check out ncksports.com for the latest in high school sports. Also, the NCK Raptors are competing in the mountain bike race again this weekend, and that'll be in Tipton here this weekend at Pollen Farms. So we'll keep an eye on that and see how all that goes for the area athletes. Again, Jalen Weese of Tipton and Chris Ice of Osborne were named our Athletes of the Week for their performances in their first mountain bike race, the inaugural race that was held in Augusta back on April 11th. So you can read about that at ncksports.com. And again, those two athletes, as well as the rest of the NCK Raptors mountain bike and cycling team, will be competing here this weekend in Tipton. So you can be looking out for that, and hopefully we'll get results for that and be able to tell you how they all fared. So Jalen Weese and Chris Heiss will get to wear special leader jerseys for that race coming up on Sunday there in Tipton.
Yeah, you posted an article at ncksports.com, Athlete of the Week, and you almost have to squint and double blink because the names are very – there's I's and E's and E's and I's.
When I spelled it, I was like, did I spell them right? And is it one I-E? Is the other E-I like mine? Or
yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I was like – I had to double, whatever that is, double blink or whatever the case may be. I had to look at that a little bit closer. Like, did he spell that right? No, that's spelled right. Oh, that's interesting combination of Athletes of the Week just based on the spelling of their names. Like, is that brothers, sisters? No, two different names spelled in a similar way. All right, the Royals return to the field tonight. They are 10-7 on the season, first place American League Central. They have the Tigers, who are 7-12, chance for the Royals to pick up a few wins in Detroit tonight, 6-10 in Detroit. The Royals coming off a 6-4, 10-game homestand. Mike Minor is on the hill for the boys in blue. They're 1-1, or he's 1-1 on the season, ERA at just over 5. And then tomorrow afternoon at 12:10 will be Brady Singer. Had a great start last time out against Boyd, who has pitched pretty well against the Royals last couple of years. And then Sunday, the Royals have another afternoon game at 12:10. Danny Duffy, who's had a wonderful start to the year, 2-1 ERA. A .50, so afternoon game Saturday and Sunday. And then also Monday will be another afternoon game. Brad Keller on the hill. And which Brad Keller show up, the one against the Angels or the guy that's been really bad in his other three starts? And so the Royals will have three straight afternoon games, four games against the Tigers, one this evening, and then three straight afternoon games tomorrow, Sunday, and Monday. And then Tuesday, the Royals will go to Pittsburgh and play the Pirates. So that's the upcoming games for the Royals. Salvador Perez has been red hot with some clutch hits, obviously. Two game winners in 4 days. For last Royal to do that was Daryl Porter back in 1980, catcher for the Royals when the Royals went to the World Series in 1980. So Salvi's getting it done. Hunter Dozier with a home run the other day. Soler with three hits. Maybe those two are coming to life. Merrifield's been pretty steady, although he had a couple errors recently in a game at second. And then Benintendi is changing his batting stance. If you notice that, he's trying to find some things and made a little bit better contact his last time out. So there is reason to be optimistic. Brady Singer, very good in his last start. Duffy's been very good. Miner's been average at best. And then really, Junis was good until his last start with a rough first inning. But they got to get Keller on track, and hopefully they will in the series in Detroit. So the A's did not play last night. They still have a I believe they didn't play last night.
No,
they
look
like they did. Yep. Yeah, they're off. So they have 11-game winning streak going into their game coming up today. As the A's are in action against the Baltimore Orioles, they have won 11 in a row. They started here 0-6. Other games last night, the D-backs beat the Reds 14-11 in 10 innings. Pirates over the Tigers 4-2. Yankees beat the Indians 6-3. Mariners in 10 beat the Red Sox 7-3. Cubs won in 10 innings over the Mets 4-3. So there's three extra inning games out of eight. Astros win over the Angels 8-2, and the Giants shut out the Marlins 3-0, and the Padres squeak past the Dodgers 3-2. And by the way, that's becoming a fun little rivalry between the Padres and the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. It's becoming a little bit heated. It used to be the Giants and the Dodgers, and there's still a good rivalry there. But the Padres really are starting to irk the Dodgers a little bit, and they're trying to get under their skin. And they've had some games this year where it's been very testy.
Padres trying to be that. You can kind of maybe compare it to the Royals, right? That in 15 when everybody was being a bully to them, and they had already done the nice, had the nice run the year before, and the Padres did that. They you know, they had a good run, made the playoffs, and were that up and coming team. And now they're just trying to, I think they're trying to let everybody know they're here.
Yeah,
right. Kind of like the Royals were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, we're here, we're ready, and we want it.
Yes.
And I think that that's, guess who was on both of those teams? Eric Hosmer.
Yes, right. The Padres' only difference is the Padres spent a lot of money this offseason.
They did, yeah. The Royals never didn't quite spend that kind of money. Yeah, but
right, exactly.
Point is, we're here, and we're ready to go.
We are ready to compete and knock you off. Not you're the World Series champion. We don't even worry about that. We're going to beat you in this division. The Padres are up-and-coming team. They've spent a lot of money. They've got some young talent. Some of it they traded away. Some of it they kept. And you're right, Eric Hosmer, who got off to a good start this year. Mm-hmm. Former Royal over at first base for the Padres. College football is making changes to their overtimes, which I'm okay with this. The first part, anyway. The Rules Committee Oversight Panel decided now that once you get to the second overtime, you have to go for two. I've said all along, you eliminate the kicker on extra points in overtime. You go for two from the very beginning. That would speed it up.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they're going to go ahead and allow the extra point for the first overtime. But then the second overtime, it'll be you have to go for a two-point conversion. But then what's interesting is that if it's still tied after the second overtime, then it'll be a two-point conversion shootout. So it'll be two-point play. You just take turns doing two-point plays, I guess, which is going to be – if that's – they don't really explain it fully here because they said it was going to be like hockey with penalty shots. So, I mean, that sounds like they're going to alternate it. So that'll be interesting. Offense in, defense out, back and forth. Hopefully it wouldn't go too long. But I'm okay with it because we don't need seven overtime games. I mean, it's exciting, but it's not good for the players at the college level. I think the two-point conversion, I don't think you need to do the shootout myself, though. I think what you need to do, or not the shootout, but the two-point conversion exchange that they're talking about, I think you just do a two-point conversion to start overtime, and you just keep doing that. And then if a team doesn't score a touchdown, then they don't have to worry about a two-point conversion.
College football is not like you're running 15-minute overtime periods.
You start at 25.
And you get, half the time the teams are in the end zone in three plays anyway.
Right.
It's ridiculous how many times you see, especially where the offenses are right now in college football, mm-hmm. where there's boom, it's like two, three plays are already in the end zone.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I don't know if you need, like if it was a time situation, I wouldn't be opposed to the two-point shootout or whatever, right? But even if, probably like the 3-4 overtime games, they're not lasting. They might not even last as long as one single NFL overtime period, right? As far as actual time-wise, right? So I don't think they needed to do that. I do like the two-point conversion thing.
Yeah, just go ahead and get that
started. I think I'm with you. If they're going to start it in the second one, why not just start it in the first?
Yeah, right.
Because what it was it used to be the fourth, and then they moved it to the third, I think.
Yeah,
and
our second.
Then now the second. I'm like, just make them do it right away. If you're really worried about trying to speed this up,
yeah,
just do it right away.
I agree with you on that. So we'll see how that works. But I think it's a step in the right direction. I don't like that shootout type of thing, though. But we talked about yesterday on the show about the new NFL uniform rule where linebackers corners, safeties can wear any number from 1 to 49. Receivers now can wear single-digit numbers. Tight ends can in the National Football League. Lots of players are excited about it. Now, there probably won't be a lot of number changing taking place this upcoming year. Tyrann Mathieu talked about going to 21 in 2022, which would be his first year with a new team or first year of a new contract. Because there is a situation, I didn't know this until today, that a player who wants to change the number for the 2021 season has to buy out the remaining inventory of his old number. So that could be pretty pricey. But if a player changes his number in 2022, he doesn't have to pay for anything. So that means that if you're going to see number changes, you're going to see it in 2022 especially. And lots of players are excited about it. I saw Mecole Hardman say he wants, he's going to get number 4. And somebody said, you ever hear of Chad Henne?
It was Mahomes. He's like, Henne?
Yeah, right. Exactly. And then somebody, goodness gracious, somebody said they wanted Mahomes' number. And Mahomes talked about bringing back 5, you know, because he was 5 at college at Texas Tech. And it will be interesting to see if there's any superstar players that change their numbers. I think, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. probably will. I think, you know, Tyrann Mathieu will, it sounds like. But I thought he might go to a single-digit number when he was at LSU. But he had some problems at LSU and some off-the-field issues. And so he was talking about a different number. We talked about it yesterday that Kobe Bryant, you know, changed his number kind of the second half of his career. And both numbers retired up at the Staples Center, 8 and 24. LeBron's had different numbers. He was 23 at the Cavs, and he's with the Lakers. He was 6 with the Heat. And that helps jersey sales when you have a change of number, be quite honest with you. So it's all about merchandise and money. And a lot of the players are excited about maybe getting their old college number back when they played, you know, had single-digit numbers. But there is one guy that's a curmudgeon, and he is the GOAT. The greatest quarterback of all time based on Super Bowl appearances and Super Bowl championships and all that. Mr. Fuddy Duddy himself, Tom Brady, does not like it at all. In fact, Brady went on the Twitter and says, that good luck trying to block the right people now, going to make for a lot of bad football. He also said later on the tweet, why not let the linemen wear whatever they want to? Why have numbers? Just have colored jerseys. Why not wear the same number? Dumb. That's what Brady said. Now, Brady's 43, so maybe this will speed up his retirement. That'd be great with us, I'm sure, and everybody else.
He doesn't like it. He can leave.
Just
get out.
Cool, you don't like it, retire. You got a supermodel as a wife. You've got great kids that you love. You got great, you know, big house and mansion. You probably own 49.8% of the New England Patriots. We will find out later on why you paid for so cheap with the Patriots. We'll find that. This big, huge account in the Cayman Islands and all that. But here's why Brady's complaint is complete hogwash. And here's why I think, like, when I first saw this, I was, like, really surprised by it. I really was. I was like, Brady's making a big deal about this? So he's worried about identifying guys because they're wearing different numbers. So like a linebacker, let's say, you know, he's trying to identify the Mike guy that's blitzing this and that. And I got the thing about this on the way in the work today because I knew there was something that didn't fit right with this complaint by Tom Brady. And let me repeat what he said, okay? Tom Brady said on Twitter, good luck trying to block the right people now, going to make for a lot of bad football. Why not let the linemen wear whatever they want to? Why have numbers? Just have colored jerseys. Why not wear the same number? And he put dumb in capital letters, D-U-M-B. So I thought about this on the way into work today. And by the way, let's go back over this. Tight ends could have single-digit numbers. Wide receivers can have single-digit numbers. They can go 1 to 19, or not 1 to 19, 1 to 49. And then they can stay 80 to 89, which is the current number. D linemen now have a little bit of flexibility in their numbers, but they can't the linemen can't have single digit numbers. And then the corners and safeties. So basically your running backs, your corner safeties, your linebackers, and your wide receivers, tight ends, can have more numbers to choose from. They can be single digits. Whereas your quarterback's got to stay, your kicker's got to stay 1 through 19, your offensive linemen got to stay the same number. And they added 10 numbers for the defensive linemen, if I remember correctly. But here's why Tom Brady's complaint is, in his own words, dumb. I'll repeat. He says, good luck trying to block the right people now, going to make for a lot of bad football. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this happens in college football. Yes. And somehow the quarterbacks, somehow the quarterbacks like Joe Burrow and Mac Jones and Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence seem to be pretty successful despite all the weird single-digit numbers lined up at linebacker and safety and corner. So, Tom, if you're the greatest of all time and you're so smart, if college kids can do this very well, why can't you? So, thus, your complaint's dumb. It might require Tom to think a little harder. It might require Tom to have to adjust a little bit. And I think Tom Brady has officially become a grandpa.
It's like the
because he's an old guy that's a curmudgeon. I don't want to learn. Yeah. I don't want change. I don't want change. I don't want to learn anything new. What were you going to say?
He's the old man that yells at Cloud.
Yes.
The gif that you see all over Twitter all the time. And
yes.
Facebook.
Yes.
I wonder if he had a hard time finding Charles Woodson when he was wearing number 2 at Michigan or not. As a wide receiver and defensive back.
Who was a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't understand this at all. And I can't believe in the story nobody points this out. Oh, well, college football's been able to do it, and the quarterbacks have had a lot of success. Like you said, it's going to make for a lot of bad football. So you're saying college football is bad football? It makes no sense.
I can roll with the complaints maybe a little bit on a lot of this stuff, but it's like, how does it make for bad football?
Yes.
Like, that makes no sense at all.
And why is it dumb?
Yeah.
I mean, it gives you – the Chiefs are the one who proposed this plan, by the way.
Yeah.
And they're like, with all the numbers that are retired or semi-retired, you need some flexibility, and then the bigger rosters and in season and this and that. And it does make sense. It really does make sense. And that or you unretire numbers. That would be the other way to do it. But I was really surprised by Tom Brady's reaction. And then I was just like, for crying out loud, Tom, don't you know, I know you're old now at 43, and this is funny because I'm 45. But Tom, I know, is old and doesn't want to change his ways, apparently, although he changed complete teams and cities and states where he lives in, for crying out loud. Why would he be against this change? And his buddies, his teammates, players love this. They're happy about it, the skill position players especially.
Mm-hmm.
And so why is he being Mr. Fuddy-Duddy? It's because he thinks it's going to make – he knows how easy it is at times to read this and read that. Now he's going to have to alter his brain just a little bit and adjust the change. My advice to Tom Brady is, if you don't like it, retire, which he won't. But it's just, I was really surprised how strongly he felt about this, because my goodness gracious, Tom, you do watch college football, don't you? I'm sure you got like a 1,000-inch TV screen in your mansion that you probably can see nice big, you know, I think you can tell that linebackers at LSU and Alabama are wearing single-digit numbers.
Yeah.
And I believe Mac Jones can figure it out.
While you were at Michigan, a guy on your team won the Heisman that was not a quarterback, punter, or kicker.
Yes.
And was wearing number 2.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Very, very interesting. Also, another guy that was at the Michigan that won the Heisman was 21, Desmond Howard.
Mm-hmm.
He played wide receiver, kick returner. So, and that's not a normal wide receiver number. So, very interesting complaining by Tom Brady, and it doesn't really hold a lot of water in my book. Agreed?
100% agree. I was disappointed this couldn't happen for Deion, because he always wore number 2 in practice,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know.
He could never wear it in games.
Yeah, maybe he'll come out of retirement.
Just one game, wear number 2 for the whatever team he wants to represent.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Very just a weird complaint there, I thought, by Brady. Over the top.
Yeah.
All right, we shift gears. Sad news passed along to you. Terrence Clark, who played one season college basketball at Kentucky this past year, died yesterday following a car accident in Los Angeles. He was 19. Kentucky head coach John Calipari said in a statement late last night, "I'm absolutely gutted and sick tonight. A young person who we all love has just lost his life too soon, one with all of his dreams and hopes ahead of him. Terrence Clark was a beautiful kid, someone who owned the room with his personality, smile, and joy. People gravitated to him, and to hear we have lost him is just hard for all of us to comprehend right now. We are all in shock. May he rest in peace." Terrence Clark averaged 9.5 points a game for Kentucky. He had an ankle injury that sidelined him for about 3 months. He returned in the SEC tournament, played 10 minutes in a one-point loss to Mississippi State. He appeared in 8 games and had 6 starts. He was a potential first-round pick. He was in L.A. preparing for the 2021 NBA draft following a one-and-done season with the Wildcats. He's one of those, you know, Kentucky Wildcat guys, like we've seen many times for John Calipari, that might not have the greatest numbers his freshman year at Kentucky, but has tremendous upside and potential. And he had signed with an agent, so it was all he was done with college. And he died in a car accident. Apparently he was speeding and driving too fast. And if I remember correctly reading this last night, I hit a person who was trying to make a left turn, and he ran right through the intersection or light and hit that person. And he was wearing a seatbelt, but not correctly, the report said. So Terrence Clark, at the age of 19, who was all excited and, of course, could have very well have been drafted. He was a 72nd prospect, so he might not have been drafted, but he certainly had a chance to play pro ball, whether overseas or the G League, or maybe make a team. He was a prized jewel of the 2020 recruiting class of Kentucky, and he's now passed away at the age of 19. Sad news there.
Yes.
The NBA, last night, there were some games, like there is almost every night in the NBA. The Celtics beat the Suns 99-86. Kemba Walker with 32. Chris Paul, 22 for the Suns. The Pelicans whipped the Magic 135-100. Brandon Ingram with 29. The Bucks beat the 76ers 124-117. Two of the best teams in the East. Giannis with 27 points, 16 rebounds. Joel Embiid with 24 points. The Spurs, Dusty's happy to report, beat the Pistons last night 106-91. Josh Jackson, former Jayhawk, led the way for Detroit with 29. And I'm happy for Josh Jackson. He has really had to fight his way back after being a top five overall pick. Back to the league, and now he's done some really good things. I think sometimes guys mature later than others, mm-hmm. and that's what happened with Josh Jackson. Derek White led the way with 26 for the Spurs. The Bulls beat the Hornets 108-91. Devontae Graham, former Jayhawk, led the way for the Hornets with 16 in a loss. And the Mavericks beat the Lakers last night 115-110. Luka Doncic, 30 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. Dennis Schroeder, 25 points, 13 assists for the Lakers. The big news here is that even though the Lakers lost, the most important thing for Laker fans is that Anthony Davis came back. He played in the first half last night in limited minutes, 4 points, 4 rebounds. So if they can get him back up and going and get LeBron back in a few weeks, they're saying, then the Lakers will be full throttle, ready to go come playoff time. And I think they're pretty safe of avoiding that 7 spot to be in a play-in tournament. So look out, because here come the Lakers. And once they get healthy, you really gotta worry about them. I mean, they're defending champs, and they know how to turn it up a notch.
Like, you're foolish if you're thinking that the Lakers are not going to be a part of this thing.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be right there.
I
think they'll stop them injuries.
Yeah, I mean, if those guys come back and they are healthy
right.
for the entire run,
yeah,
it's still hard for me to pick against them.
No, I'm with you. Right now, here would be the playoff format. If it started today, in the West, the Spurs and the Warriors would have a play-in game. The Mavericks and the Grizzlies, the 7 versus the 8, would have a play-in game for the 7 seed. And the 9 and 10, the Spurs and the Warriors, then would win, and then would need to win against the loser of Dallas, Memphis, to get in to be an 8 seed. Utah, right now, the number 1 seed in the West. The 2 seed would be Phoenix, who would play either Dallas or possibly Memphis. Utah would play the loser, Dallas, Memphis, or San Antonio, or Golden State. The Clippers are a 3 seed. They'd open up with Portland. That's an interesting first-round series. And how about this one? The Nuggets and the Lakers. Western Conference Finals in the bubble. That would be your first-round matchup in the West. And you do look at this here. The Lakers would have to go through the Nuggets, the Jazz, more than likely, and then either the Clippers or Suns to get to the NBA Finals. The West is stacked, as always. In the East right now, the Nets are the wild card because of all their injuries. They're tied for the best record in the East at 39-20. Harden's missed some time now. Durant's been hardly playing. And Irving is now back and playing pretty well. I don't think 1 or 2 seed matters to the Nets. It shouldn't. It's a matter of getting healthy, just like the Lakers. So the Sixers right now would be the 1 seed. The Nets would take on either Miami or Charlotte in the first round. The Knicks and the Hawks, who just had a great overtime game the other night, Knicks and the Hawks would be the 4-5 matchup. And how about this matchup? The Bucks and the Celtics in the first round? Bucks the 3 seed, the Celtics the 6. You talk about star power, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Giannis. Holiday is a really good player. That'd be a great series. And Indiana and the Wizards now have a chance to get in. They're playing some good ball. Russell Westbrook stepped it up. The Wizards and the Pacers would play in a 9-10. Winner of that would play the loser of Miami-Charlotte. And Miami's coming on, as I've noticed, as well. Jimmy Butler's playing well. So it's going to be interesting, the playoffs. They will be on your home court this year. Won't be in a bubble. And the NBA teams will be interested to see if they start to allow fans. There are some teams that allowed some fans. Boston had about 2,000 in a game recently. And there's other –
Antonio has them now.
OKC and Denver weren't allowing fans yet. But it would be interesting to see if in the playoffs, if those that aren't allowing fans would allow some for the playoffs.
I'm going to imagine that.
I would hope so.
Once we get to that point, that there'll be more let in or some let in if they're not this point in time.
I would hope so. But you just never know.
Yeah.
You just never know. Other sports information. Let's see. What else we got here? Boy, not too much. I'm trying to see if there's anything that we're missing. The Rockets and the Timberwolves are the first NBA teams eliminated from playoff contention. So congratulations. Get ready for the draft. And the 49ers have added another Raiders player, a defensive tackle, Maurice Hurst Jr., to join the 49ers.
Did you know Geico could save you?
Pop-up. Don't like those pop-ups. And, yeah, really not too much else to add. You got anything, Dusty?
I don't believe so.
All right. Done early again today. 9:41. 48 degrees on this Friday.
I was worth 9 minutes to you today.
You were worth 9 minutes, Dusty. You're always worth 9 minutes. No more than nine, no less than nine. Exactly 9 minutes, Dusty. That's a very lucky number, I think. Yes. So, yeah, once again, local sports information all posted there at nckssports.com. And we will talk to you again on Monday. Have a fantastic weekend.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.